Good morning, Club 20. It's great to be here to talk to you today and talk about some of the things that we have been able to accomplish in the last 2 years as the state representative in Southwest Colorado. It's easy to talk about the 16 bills that you brought to the floor, 11 with the Democrat sponsor, passing the House by an 866 to 160 margin. Those bills included judges for Montrose County. I ran several bills with concerning healthy forest regulations. House Bill 1119, I think, was a dominant bill in the House of Representatives this year, giving businesses basically a right to cure over fines from stormwater violations. Those are easy things to talk about. But what's really important is the things that you are able to stop. And thanks to a friend of mine in the Denver area by the name of Robert Ramirez, the Republican Party had a 33-32 vote margin in the House of Representatives. The significance of that is a committee that I served on was the State Redistricting Committee for Congressional Districts. We traveled around the state listening to the people. Came back, we drew our plan, the Democrats drew their plan. Their plan had all seven congressmen living within minutes of DIA. They called that city integrity. Well, Harry Truman had a word for it. Bess tried to get him to call it fertilizer, but we fought that, and we fought hard, and we fought for rural Colorado. I've contended that the R behind my name does stand for rural, and I have represented everyone well. As I was told by a gentleman from Bayfield, as a Democrat, I have more alliances with a Republican in Grand Junction than I do a Democrat in Boulder. This map put Northwest Colorado, Mesa, Delta, Gunnison, all of Northwest Colorado in with Boulder. You do not have a community of interest in Boulder. So I think that's one of the strong things that I really stood for. Something that I just pulled off in the last couple of weeks. I had a call from a constituent that there was a bill that was going to cost the taxpayers $1 million. I was able to stop that. It was a contract by CSU. We stopped that contract. That's 30 years of salary for a state representative that we saved in that one step. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Tammy, you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Tammy Tice, and I am new to this arena as a candidate, but I am not new to the political scene. My name is Tammy. I'm from Montrose, Colorado, and I know many of you in the audience, but for those of you that do not know me, let me give you a snapshot. I'm from Montrose, Colorado. I've worked for a public utility company for 35 and a half years, and with that job, I designed and permitted and worked on right-of-ways for electric lines. And with that, I gained the experience and the opportunity to work with many other trades, plumbers, inside electricians, carpenters, building construction firms, industries, manufacturing. And with that experience, I learned that we need a stronger voice in from rural Colorado on the Front Range. I've worked with other Senate and House district campaigns, and I'd like to bring this experience to the forefront for House District 58. Let me give you a road trip. House District 58, as it's been redesigned, which is perfect because it follows the county boundaries and is very practical. House District 58 starts on the north end with Montrose County, and it's a very sprawling county. And then fall into San Miguel, where you might remember the resort area of Telluride. And then we drop down over the hill to Dolores County. And then we reach to the Four Corners area of Colorado, which is Montezuma County, where Mesa Verde, the town of Cortez, is at. And I'm there and here to serve the people of that district to the best of my ability.
Thank you, Tammy. So now we're going to start with the questions from our panelists. Our panelists are Dean McCall and Stan Broom. Stan, you want to go first? All right. And your first question will be first directed to Don.
First thing I have said before when I've had the privilege of doing this a few times to both of you, you deserve a mighty, mighty round of applause for just a second for taking the time, the effort, the resources, and the commitment to serve the people of Western Colorado. I applaud you. Now we get down to the brass tacks here. There's a rumor out and about that employment is pretty high here in Western Colorado and, well, pretty much statewide, but primarily pretty high in the 58. Do you think the state has a formal role in addressing the labor needs of Western Colorado, inclusive of agriculture and other skills that are lacking in order to get our economy back to full speed?
Thank you. And that is a great question. And, you know, the 58th district has one of the highest unemployment rates in the district. And I don't think it's the state's job to create jobs. It's the state's jobs to cut the red tape, streamline, and put people to work with regulations that are workable and usable and that all can live with. You know, Mesa County is a prime example a few years ago of jobs leaving the area in the oil industry. If you look at the Mesa County and then you look at North Dakota with 3%, which would you rather be? We need jobs. So I think it's our duty to get out of the way and let the private sector do its job.
Tammy?
We have the infrastructure already in place. We just need to use it better. Do you know just over the hill from here, there in Colburn, there is a Job Corps? It's one of the last of its kind. And in that Job Corps, they teach young men and women the crafts of deep sea welding, agriculture, carpentry, electrical work, and all of those jobs can be assets to our communities, especially in House District 58. When an employee seeks a job outside the state of Colorado, they need the skills and the assets that come with that, and that's the education that we have already in place in our district. The state of Colorado does not need any additional structure. We just need to use what we already have.
Thank you, Don. Would you like to rebut?
Well, I think I will reiterate that that we have, you know, we have all the natural resources in the world. We have water, we have timber, we have coal, we have gas, we have oil, we have tourism. We need a program that sits around and lets everybody do their job. You know, put the experts in the field to do it. We don't need a governor's panel telling us how to run a business.
Second question will be from Dean, and it will be directed first to Tammy.
Tammy, the first question that I'll ask is, there's been some discussion about moving all of the Medicaid coverage to an outsourced managed care model, resulting in a reduced cost to helping to improve budgetary concerns for the state. Would you be in support of this?
No, I would not. And I'll give you an example. Just in the last 5 years, I experienced the same steps in life as many of you in this room have experienced. I lost my mother to pancreatic cancer. My parents were of an age that they were ready to enter into Medicare coverage. What I learned firsthand was the experiences that everyone in this room knows. You don't get parents with a rule book or a how-to. Medicare, Medicaid offer those services, and they're earned services. My parents earned those services, and they do not need to be outsourced. We've got a structure that may need some additional modifications, clarifications. There are changes in the works nationally to augment Medicare and Medicaid.
We're out of time. Don, would you like to ask?
Yes, I think we definitely need to take a hard look at Medicare and Medicaid. You know, we're looking at, almost 40% of our budget being consumed by this. And, we're all out there to help people who need help. But when you look at what's down the road and a family of four making $72,000 in a couple of years as Medicaid eligible, you know, I don't know about Mesa County, but in the 58th district, that's the rich people making $72,000. And I think it's something that we absolutely cannot afford, and we have to address that, or there will not be Medicaid or Medicare. We have to get it under control.
And Tammy, would you like to rebut?
It's always going to be looked at. It's a program, and it needs to be maintained. It doesn't need to be washed. It just needs to be worked with.
All right. The next question will be from Stan, and it will be directed first to Don.
Don, it's dry out there. We're in the cycle again. Do you think we need more water storage to enable stability of our water in lean years in western Colorado?
Without a doubt, we have to have more water storage. We have to utilize the water we have better. But when we're letting millions and millions of gallons of water that flowing down the South Platte into Nebraska, and we're taking water from western Colorado to supplement that, absolutely, we have to have more water storage and wiser use of our waters.
Same question, Tammy.
I agree we need to manage the water and the flow of the water. In 1920, there was great strides developed with the act to reclaimate water. We have dams, we have reservoirs, and the infrastructure from those water pools reaching the coastline need help. They are making great strides in Montrose County, San Miguel County, Dolores, and Montezuma County by filling the reservoirs and the tributaries from them with water membranes and managing the flow and the saturation of the water. And in concreting irrigation systems and modifying the flow calls is paramount.
And Don?
I guess the fact that we're building reservoirs in the 58th district really surprises me, because I know of none. And if someone from the water community could tell me where they are, I would so appreciate. Mr. Teresa, could I talk to you after the meeting?
Dean, and you're going to be addressing your final question to Tammy first.
Hi, Tammy. With the concerns related to economics in our state and the focus being on developing skill sets and tools for our youth, education has been cut by nearly $1 billion over the last few years. Are you in support of this, or do you oppose this?
Could you ask the first part of your question again?
Basically, the youth of Colorado, in developing their skill sets and knowledge through education, with a cut of $1 billion going towards the education system, are you in support of this as a possibility to improve that, or are you against that?
I'm totally against that. We need to work harder on supporting the education structures at all levels in the state of Colorado and make the or provide the education services and outreach manner.
Thank you. I think the way to improve education in Colorado is to have the federal and the state government stop dictating to the local communities on how to run their schools. We elect people to the school board that are very knowledgeable, and we need to let them determine what works. You know, what works in Cherry Creek may not work in Maybell, may not work in Dove Creek. So we need to streamline the Department of Education and put control back into the local people.
And would you like to rebut?
We need to support our local school boards and the infrastructure that we have in Colorado by electing strong leadership to the regions and the boards and support them in all needed areas. Thank you.
All right. The next part of the format is the cross-examination, and the way that the order goes, that Tammy will get to go first, and she will have 3 minutes to control. She can ask Don questions.
Mr. Corum, I've admired and I've looked up to you over the years with your leadership, not just in the state legislature, but locally in Colorado and the Western Slope. I've got a couple questions for you. What have you done to help women and their issues?
Well, thank you. That's a great question. There was a bill a couple of years ago that was up, Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, and that was killed in the House because of the House sponsor withdrew. It passed the Senate. The House sponsor withdrew. I took up the sponsorship of that bill. It's a great bill. It works in Mesa, Montrose, and Delta County, and I stood up for those young people that had a problem and were there for them. And I guess I would ask you to say when I haven't stood up for the rights of women.
Okay. Well, there's a track record that prevails our discussion today that you might want to look back into, because the track record indicates that there's not been a great deal of support from your office towards the issues of women in Colorado for the 58th district.
Well, I will certainly stand on my track record. I actually have no idea what you're talking about, so if you have something specific, I wish you would bring that out.
I'll be glad to share it with you. On that topic, would you like to expand on your support and goals for economic development or transportation in the 58th district?
Absolutely. I was working with the governor's office last year on his bottom-up program, and it was to provide economic development throughout the state. Unfortunately, it was taking a route that was not good for rural Colorado. We had the regions around rural Colorado telling us this is not good. So I went to the governor and said, we are not going to pass this bill. We will pass something and it works. To pass a bill just to the sake of passing a bill is asinine, and I will never do that.
I believe the question was what you would do to support economic development and expand transportation in 58th District.
Expand transportation?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to the Department of Transportation about better utilizing our funds. So we're spending, I think, far too much on planning and administration and not getting the product to the road. So I've been working with the Department of Transportation on that. Everything you do in the legislature is not done through a bill. It's done working through committees and staff, and I'm very proud of my record.
Thank you.
And just in time. Okay, Don, the next 3 minutes are yours, and you can ask Tammy questions.
I don't have a lot. This is kind of a campaign by committee, so I really don't know Tammy all that well. Just got in the race a couple of days ago, and frankly, I haven't really researched her background. But I guess one question I would have is, do you support the unionization of state workers?
I support the collective bargaining rights of all people. In our Constitution, it provides for people to assemble and join forces. We the people of the 58th District, we the people of the state of Colorado, we the people of this United States of America have the right to collective bargaining.
Would you rather that would have been done through the legislature or as it was done by executive order by the governor?
There are appropriate procedures to take, and I don't support all the actions that have been taken. But the actions have been taken, and we're going to work through it.
Okay. We have a lot of resources in Southwest Colorado and all of rural Colorado. There's been a bit of a controversy basically coming out of San Miguel County, which is a district I do represent, that you are running. The construction of the Energy Fuels uranium mill and the mining in Southwest Colorado. What is your position on that?
I support any development for alternative energy, renewable energy, and the redevelopment of some of those fuel sources that you've described. It's paramount that we continue to research and develop all forms of energy because our fossil fuels are going to go away. They're going to be exhausted. Coal, natural gas are not in endless supply. If you take a lump of coal that's maybe not clean, maybe not pure, but it's burnable, you can take it to our nuclear power plant and burn it. But if you take that lump of coal and compress it and use it wisely, it becomes a diamond. I'm a diamond in the rough, but I'm here to serve the 58th District.
I'm not up much into jewelry, and so diamonds aren't real important to me. But jobs and heat and electricity are. And we have had an assault on the coal industry in this nation, and it's time that we as a state legislature stand up and tell the federal government, no, we are going to mine. We have 200 years of supply of coal in this state, and we're going to use it.
Yes, but use it wisely.
All right. Now we have 1 minute each for the closing remarks, and Tammy, you will go first.
I'm a native of Colorado. I come from simple means. I'm not the daughter of a coal miner. I am the daughter of a barber. And my parents had a family business. He owned two barber shops in the Front Range. When I was 14, I was transplanted to the Western Slope. So there's my roots. I grew up in Delta County, outside of the 58th District, but my work and career transplanted me to Montrose, Colorado, where I aspire to be a leader in the community. I'm an advocate for nonprofit sector. I'm a listener. I expand dialogue. I'm good at negotiations. I have a strong imagination. I seek information, truth, and facts. I'm for finding funding sources and not just accepting mandates. We need to continue to research.
And that's time. And Don.
Thank you. And as you all are aware, my background in Western Colorado is agriculture, mining, natural resources, environmental reclamation, and small business. I think that's a very broad background to bring to the state legislature. I serve on the Ag and Natural Resources Committee. I'm very proud of that. We've done some great things for Colorado. My record has been, I was told that I need to be more bipartisan, but if you consider 11 of my 16 bills, and they passed the House by 866 to 160, I don't know how you can be more bipartisan than that. If anybody in the crowd has a suggestion, please bring it forward. Thank you.
All right, thank you to our candidates, and thank you to our panelists, and thank you to Club 20.